Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Grenville Strategic Royalty Corporation's fourth quarter and year-end 2014 results conference call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Following the presentation, we will conduct a question-and-answer session. Instructions will be provided at that time for you to queue up for questions. If anyone has difficulties hearing the conference, you may press star zero for operator assistance at any time. I would like to remind everyone that today's discussions may contain forward-looking statements that reflect current views with respect to future events. Any such statements are subject to risks and uncertainties that could cause actual results to differ materially from those projected in the forward-looking statements. For more information on Grenville's risks and uncertainties related to these forward-looking statements, please refer to the company's Management Information Circular dated January 14, 2014, which is available on SEDAR. Today's call is being recorded on February 6, 2015. I would now like to turn the meeting over to William Tharp, Chief Executive Officer of Grenville Strategic Royalty Corporation. Please go ahead, Mr. Tharp.
Thank you, Operator, and good afternoon to everyone on a Friday afternoon. Thanks for participating in today's call. I'm joined today by Steve Perry, our Executive Chairman, and Donica Rahl, our Chief Financial Officer. I will provide the highlights of the quarter. Donica will then provide a financial review and will be followed by a Q&A session post that. As a whole, the portfolio performed very well in the quarter as evidenced by the growing revenues and free cash flow. During quarter four, we recorded revenues of $1.5 million and free cash flow of $1.2 million. The improved financial performance is a result of our core capabilities to capitalize on accretive opportunities to further grow and strengthen our business. As we scale the portfolio, our free cash flow benefits. This has allowed us to return capital to shareholders with the declaration today of our very first dividend. Grenville will pay two shareholders of record as of February 25th a monthly dividend of 0.42 cents on March 16th, 2015. This represents a dividend of 5 cents on an annualized basis. This declaration is an important milestone for Grenville. It delivers on a commitment to implement a dividend that we've made to shareholders at the time of the RTO and reinforced with our Q3 earnings. We have established a dividend at a level that we believe is sustainable based on the fundamentals of the existing portfolio. Excuse me. We also intend to grow both the portfolio and the dividend. We have constructed a diversified portfolio that provides stable, sustainable revenue to support the dividend. That diversity proved important during Q4 as we experienced our very first impairment provision. Shortly after our last call, management became aware of circumstances with one of our investments that led us to take a proactive decision to a 100% charge against that investment. While we believe a portion of the investment could be recovered, we decided that it was appropriate to make a full impairment provision in the period against the book value due to the uncertainty of the outcome. We are pursuing all avenues available, including litigation, to recover the full value or as much of the investment as possible. While the outcome is certainly frustrating, our strategy to build a diversified portfolio of royalty investments is specifically designed to mitigate the risk of individual investment losses. The investment represented less than 3% of our total portfolio. Even at this relatively early stage of our evolution, the portfolio is constructed to withstand events of this nature. As evidenced by our growth in revenue and our positive free cash flow during the period, at the same time, we were very closely monitoring the volatility in the broader markets through the end of the year and into the first month of 2015. We made a deliberate decision to temporarily slow our pace of investment in the fourth quarter. We believe this decision protected our investors from undue risk without significantly impacting our long-term growth. Overall, the pace of investments remained in line with our year-end expectations of 1.33 new investments per month or 1.67 investments per month, including follow-ons. We continuously monitor certain key metrics, which we believe provide insight into how the portfolio is performing and growing. while these metrics are non-IFRS measures, we find them beneficial. The first and probably most important to us is our average royalty revenue generated per $1 million invested. In December, that figure grew, as expected, to just over $247,000, which is a great result. That's up from $212,000 early in the year in January of last year and $243,000 in the previous quarter at the end of September. Our target is to sustain $250,000 in royalty revenue per month on an ongoing basis. It's important to note that SME revenue is cyclical in nature, with the strongest performance typically in the fourth quarter of the year. However, we still believe that the direction of the trend is significant as it approaches our objective. This is a key metric for us because it demonstrates the approach we take to structure each of our investments. We target returns of 25 to 40% on an IRR basis. This positions us in the portfolio well ahead of its peers on a portfolio basis. In other words, our portfolio IRR is currently tracking to 24.7% in December, which is well ahead of the best peer, which reported a portfolio IRR of 14.7%, a full 10% below our performance. We are achieving these levels of portfolio IRR while our trading multiples are approximately half of our peers on an EV to EBITDA basis using current market sense a consensus price or consensus estimates. As we continue to familiarize the markets with our model and they track our ongoing progress, we believe this sets us up well to provide additional value to shareholders in terms of capital appreciation. We also track our rolling three-month average investment per month. This measure provides insight into the pace of our investments, as I'd mentioned earlier. As expected, with our cautiousness in Q4, this figure eased back to about $1.5 million for the month of December. Our target is to track closer to $3 million per month, subject to availability of capital from the capital markets. We also track on a rolling three-month average investment per transaction basis. In December, that number stood at just below $1 million, which is down from the peak in September. Of the three measures, this one has the greatest potential to move without impacting our core fundamental, as long as the royalty revenue per million and average invested track according to our targets. An accretive investment is accretive regardless of the scale. We simply want to ensure that our investments benefit from the diversification of the portfolio and provide reasonable material benefit to its performance. Our prospect pipeline remains incredibly strong. During 2014, we reviewed approximately 465 prospective transactions, proceeded to the due diligence stage with about 260 files, submitted 68 term sheets, closed 16 new transactions and 4 follow-on transactions. We made 3 continuing investments during the period as well. BG Furniture and Medical Imaging, which are referred to on our last call, as well as Switch Marketing and Communications, which is based in Collingwood, Ontario. We invested $500,000 in Switch with an option to invest another $500,000 if agreed to by both parties. Switch has produced over 800 animated explainer videos for clients in 15 companies and in more than 10 languages. Their videos reside in the learning archives of Facebook, H&P, IBM, and Microsoft. A great company with a really dynamic young management team, and that's the type of group they're really excited to support. Together with BG and Medical Imaging, it reflects the quality of investments we're pursuing in our portfolio. We continue to believe that the opportunity for a royalty generating investors that target SMEs outside of the resource, pharma, and film industries is a greenfield space. We have a significant opportunity to scale our portfolio by providing growth capital to these businesses. I'll now have Donica Rawl, Grenville's Chief Financial Officer, provide an overview of our financial results for the quarter. Donica.
Thank you, Bill. In the fourth quarter, we achieved solid financial results. We recorded revenue of $1.5 million and $2.9 million for Q4 and fiscal 2014, respectively. Royalty payment income comprised 89% and 90% of the revenue for the two periods. Operating expenses were $219,000 and $4.7 million for Q4 and fiscal 2014. We recorded an unrealized FX gain of $445,000 during the quarter related to royalty agreements acquired in US dollars. The full year expenses included $3.7 million in costs related to the RTO and an unrealized FX gain of $694,000. Our practice is to provide a disciplined approach for profitability while managing our business with minimum operating costs. Based on existing operations, we believe there is a significant scale within the business operations to manage additional investments with minimum incremental costs. Operating expenses for fiscal 2014, excluding the exceptional items around the RTO and unrealized foreign exchange gains, came in at approximately $1.3 million, or $110,000 per month, and we estimate approximately a range of $1.65 to $1.95 million in operating expenses on an annualized basis in the early part of 2015. We recorded a loss in adjusted EBITDA of $61,000 and $490,000 for Q4 and fiscal 2014, respectively. The loss in Q4 reflects the impact of the $1 million impairment that Bill mentioned earlier. Excluding the write-down, we recorded adjusted EBITDA of $938,549 and $1.49 million for Q4 and fiscal 2014. We generated free cash flow of $1.2 million and $937,000 for Q4 and fiscal 2014. Our shift to positive free cash flow, complemented with the numerous royalty expansion opportunities, allows to carry our growth momentum into 2015. As at December 31, 2014, our capital resources were $19.5 million, working capital of $10.4 million, and a cash position of $9.7 million. I now turn it back over to you, Bill, for his closing thoughts.
Thanks, Donica. Appreciate that. We remain disciplined, growing a balanced and diversified portfolio of quality investments. We've invested $23.6 million to date, net of the impairment. We hold 18 positions through 22 investments. We intentionally diversify our investments into sectors of the economy, defensive, neutral, and cyclical, as it provides us with the quality to broaden our investment base while mitigating market risk. The risk profile of our investments is also diversified, is diversified to provide us with a sustainable revenue stream with the upside of potential of capitalizing on high growth opportunities for royalty expansion. We have further diversified the portfolio by geography, with 54% of our capital invested in the U.S. and 46% in Canada. This strategy has benefited us, as Donica outlined, with the movement of the Canadian dollar. 2004 was a great year. We've grown our portfolio substantially. We've uncovered a series of well-managed investments with great, strong fundamentals. Companies that have been looking for capital like ours that help them to execute their business strategy without infringing on their cap structure and demanding board seats. Those investments are driving revenue growth, free cash flow, diversity within our portfolio, and help us to achieve our growth targets as we scale our portfolio. With today's introduction of our first dividend, we have declared an important commitment we made to shareholders. As we continue to scale our portfolio, we look forward to updating you on our growth, and at this time, we'd now like to take the time to take your questions. Operator, please provide instructions and open lines for questions. Thank you.
At this time, in order to ask a question, please press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad, and we'll pause for a moment to compile the Q&A roster. Your first question comes from Trevor Johnson with National Bank. Your line is open.
Good afternoon, folks.
Hi, Trevor.
Hey, Donica, you mentioned the seasonality component being a bit of a tailwind in Q4. Can you just give us a sense of kind of like a normalized run rate, maybe seasonal benefit you would have seen in Q4 with this portfolio if you were to comp it, say, against 25% you would normally expect just if there was no seasonality?
Yeah. Roughly, Trevor, if you have to pick a number out of the air, say 10%. You know, during the course of the year, you'll see a slight tipping up of the revenues in the last quarter by, say, 5 to 10%. It's not a huge uptick, but it's noticeable. Many of the companies have contracts with government agencies, things like that, where in some cases they put through the budgets at the end of the year. And small companies or companies in general, particularly if they're looking to raise capital, are always looking to try to boost their revenue numbers in that last month if they're able to. So I'd say it's a 5 to 10% type factor.
Yeah, so apples to apples, if we were looking at Q1 with this same portfolio, no new investments, you'd still be looking to say 5 to 10% revenue decline just on the back of seasonality?
That's right.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah.
I
think the number that we saw, again, the first quarter of 2014 really wasn't reflected because our portfolio was too small, but I think we'll start to get into, you know, that reflection of a seasonal nature given the size of the portfolio now.
Yeah, okay. And then congrats on the dividend. Just curious if you can share kind of what proxy you're looking for in terms of payout ratio. Is it still kind of in and around that 80% range based on your 2015 forecast?
Yeah, so I think, Trevor, on a very conservative growth rate for the year, our target would be around the kind of 80% payout ratio, and we think that's very achievable. We're also going into this with, a dividend distribution account, which we've effectively created, which has got a very healthy balance. So by the time we pay out our first distribution on March 16th, it will be a healthy balance for us.
And to get to that 80%, you mentioned your $3 million a month kind of rough target. That's a fair assumption for us to run with based on where you guys stand today?
Yeah, I'd say even as low as 2.
Okay.
You know, if you're kind of 2 to 3 to 4, you know, we authorized our budget for this year, but you know, it kind of ranges between 2 and 4. It could even stretch up to as much as 5. Now, obviously, key to that whole equation, Trevor, is access to capital.
Yeah.
You know, it's key to our model, and doing it very efficiently.
And on that topic, I know it's probably a tough question to ask right now, but convertible debenture, I think, was a good experience for you folks. Would you be looking to do something more on the convert debt side if you don't see an uptick on the back of your share price and the new dividend, or are you just looking to maybe do an equity issuance at this stage when you do ultimately need the cash, which I'm guessing in the next few months?
I think, Trevor, it's really a function of what the market will give us.
Yeah.
You know, it's really a function of what the market conditions are like. You know, obviously our preference is to keep a debt equity ratio of about 50-50. So if we had our choice today, we'd prefer to head towards an equity round of financing at this point in time and then alternate between the two. But again, that's subject to market conditions. And I think as people become more familiar with our model, and the only way we can show the model is by providing quarter on quarter on quarter numbers. Then people get familiar with us and our pricing and how much leverage we get on the capital we can deploy.
And I'll just ask one more, then hop back in the queue. Just you mentioned taking the pause through kind of the end of Q4 and into Q1. Can you just talk about what the kind of the reset showed you guys and what the opportunities and maybe challenges that materialized on the back of that bit of a pause?
Yeah, I guess part of it, Trevor, as you know, September, October were very strong months. In fact, October was our first month over $4 million. So we'd already hit all of our numbers by the end of October. And we really were only operating for about 6.5 to 7 months last year because the first 3 months we were private and we didn't have capital. So, you know, if we take a look at the kind of average that we started to see in the third and fourth quarter, what we wanted to do is lock down the financial statements. You know, I'm thrilled with the team that we've got in that we've done audited financial statements and received information from 18 portfolio companies and delivered these statements in 4 weeks. That shows you that we've got great hands-on relationships with our investee companies. So if we can replicate what we did last year, this year, and we've got an extra 4 or 5 months, it will be an even better year. It'll be a great year.
Yeah, that's great stuff, guys. Thanks so much.
Yeah, thanks, Trevor.
Your next question comes from Chris Lawler with GMP Securities. Your line is open.
Hi, Chris.
Hi, guys. Congrats on the quarter.
Yeah, thank you.
Just want to kind of drill down on that pace of investment a little bit more. Just with respect to your pipeline and what you're seeing right now, are you seeing kind of the same number of deals available, and are you turning down more deals just in caution, or are you actually seeing less deals out there? And then maybe, you know, what should we expect in the near term in terms of kind of ramping back up to that longer term level that you're looking at?
Yeah, I think the last quarter, the fourth quarter, was our actually highest number for inbound deal flow. We saw 80 companies in the quarter that were inbound. We've also got, we went through the stats with you, Chris, 68 term sheets that went out the door last year. So I think we're seeing an interesting dynamic. A number of those term sheets that have been sent out the door, which didn't get signed, many of those are now coming back to us. So I think the hunting for this year is going to be in a very different way, but the inbound side of it is very strong. And there was definitely a cautiousness. You know, I think the write down definitely made us tighten certain things up. We also have a quality of portfolio. The numbers evidence that, Chris. We've got a quality of portfolio where we don't need to add anything new to it. We're going to be very selective and sort more aggressively this year, and we'll keep tightening that up. And sorry, Steve?
Yeah, and Bill, I think one way we could say it is we're simply not deal flow constrained. We have deal flow sufficient to grow the business as planned, and it's really a matter of capital access and then selection.
Yeah. I think actually that was a very specific attribute we had in November, December, Chris. Had we kept moving at the same pace that we were at, we'd be in the middle of January without capital, and we never want to pull the cash balance below really $5 million or $4 million. Now, notwithstanding that, we're generating free cash flow on a monthly basis. But no, the deal flow has been very solid, and so I think you'll see a number of announcements over the next 2-3 weeks.
Okay, great, good to hear. Secondly, just on the status of the companies in the portfolio, obviously the average royalty payment per million would suggest that you know, things are going quite strong. Can you talk about within the portfolio if there's you know, how many companies would be kind of exceeding your expectations and how many would be lower than your expectations? Just kind of give a sense of how it's balancing out there.
Yeah, I'd say, you know, as you'll see in the chart, we provided a breakdown of the kind of portfolio allocation. You'll notice there's a number at the bottom, Chris, which is the growth in the revenues in the portfolio. And it was about an 11% number, and then we pulled out, we tried to take out Forex because, you know, people were all, the question we thought we'd get was, well, gee, didn't Forex result in a big chunk of that? Forex was about 200 basis points, 2% of that 11. So that was the underlying portfolio growth. So say it's, you know, we've got, you know, a dollar of revenue. It grew by 10% organically during the year. And we've got one or two companies that we could that have some really exciting growth that we're starting to see.
Okay. So would you say it's a broad growth across the portfolio companies, or are there a couple in there that are
broad,
shooting the lights out and kind of bumping?
Yeah, no, I'd say it's quite broad growth, Chris. You know, and there are one or two who I think are going to be kingmakers in this coming year, but by and large, it's right across the portfolio.
There was no one deal that skewed the portfolio at this time, Chris. It was all pretty much across the board.
Yeah.
Okay, thanks. Last one, and then I'll turn it over. With respect to the write down, where are you in terms of the process right now, and kind of how do you see the timeline? Is there anything that we, you know, can be looking for in the coming months, or is this kind of an extended process?
No. It's the nice thing about, and this is why Steve and I, you know, we're quite comfortable with the subordinate and unsecured marketplace. Once the wheels of justice start in Canada or the U.S., there's a very mechanical process that takes place. So the statement of claim was filed. It was duly served on the people that we are suing, and they have a time period to respond. And if they don't respond, then we might have a consideration for pre-judgment. If not, there may be a slightly longer service, but we're hoping that we deal with this within the next quarter to two quarters. We have something, you know, something that is that's tangible. It comes out at that point in time, and we're cautiously optimistic. I'd say cautiously cautious, but the system we've got is very efficient on that side.
Okay. And were there any specific costs related to that that legal work?
No. We've got very modest costs for the filing of the statement of claim. We've already got some capital that's kind of secured in an account already. You would know us well enough, Chris, to know that we're very cost effective on that side of the equation. Let the judicial system take care of it for us.
Very good. Thanks a lot, guys.
Thanks, Chris. Appreciate the questions.
Your next question comes from James Reed with Haywood Securities. Your line is open.
Hi, guys. Congrats on the quarter and the inaugural dividend.
Thanks, James.
I was just first off, as a result of the write-down, did that spur any changes in your due diligence process or anything to that effect?
Just one step. There was one step that we've included. It's kind of where we step back and hand our files off to a third-party accounting firm who will do a bit of a forensic step for us. But we were actually really pleased that it was just a modest modification in the process. And you're continually fine-tuning as you go along. We've got some pretty good deal experience now within the team, but the one step was included.
Perfect. And then just one quick housekeeping item. What can we expect for cash taxes in 2015 and onward?
Yeah, as you know, James, we work on. Okay, Donica, why don't you go ahead?
When you say cash taxes, as in our effective tax rate?
Yes.
Yeah, our projections are based on an effective tax rate of 26.5%.
Okay. Okay, that's it for me. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, and I would say, James, that there is, obviously if you take a write-down, there are certain shields and things that come out of that. But we've always modeled conservatively on a fully taxed basis, and then we'll try to be as efficient between A and B as possible.
Perfect. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, James.
Your next question comes from Gavin Fairweather with Cormark Securities. Your line is now open.
Hi, Gavin. Oh, Gavin, are you there?
Oh, sorry about that. I was on mute.
Congrats
on the quarter and the dividend, but my questions have also been answered, so I'll turn it back over to the moderator. Thank you.
Your next question comes from Neil Gilmer with Claris Securities. Your line is open.
Yeah, thanks very much. A number of the questions have been addressed, but maybe just on the outlook, you have in your MD&A there just your sort of diversification analysis by investment between cyclical and neutral and defensive. And I'm just wondering, sort of going forward, are you going to focus on one of those particular areas or continue just sort of looking at all three? And then the second part of that question would be with respect to between the U.S. and Canada, looking going forward, are you still just sort of looking at both sides of the border?
Yeah. What's great about this model, Neil, we can, given that we're doing one to three investments per month at some dollar amount, we can fine-tune that on a monthly basis. Or on a deal-by-deal basis. So there was one deal that we've been looking at in the last little while, which was, let's say, a $4 million U.S. deal, which started to swing closer to five, and it was in a marketplace. We thought, okay, if we take that investment, we're going to shift this weighting. So Steve and I and Donica and the team just look at it on a deal-by-deal basis. Obviously, in a 50% defensive. It took us a while to get a balanced portfolio of 10 by numbers, and then weighted by dollar average. But right now we're greater than 50% of the 50% we have in defensive in U.S. dollars. We're also going to have to be mindful of the U.S. dollar, Canadian dollar exposure. So I would think, and I don't think I don't think I'm speaking out of turn here, if we had a choice right now, we'd probably head more towards Canadian exposure in the defensive landscape than U.S. dollars in any landscape. Steve?
If I could add, just emphasize the emphasis to Bill's point, this idea that small investments have a natural advantage over big investments was something we didn't appreciate at the start of Grenville, but today we think is a profound advantage.
Yeah.
The fact that we can make these small changes in direction based on market conditions at the time of the investment is huge. If you think about doing a single $100 million type investments, you have a very binary risk you're going to take. We're doing little tiny increments, and every time the market changes, we can shift with it. If the U.S. dollar loses strength against the Canadian dollar, we can shift south of the border and so forth. That's a material advantage of the smaller model. We've heard other companies at conferences talk about the same advantage of the small deal in the last few weeks.
And when we started building the portfolio last year, Steve and I were both very focused on balancing between north and south during the course of the year. And there were great advantages for us towards the end of the year as the currency shifted the way they did. Now, you've got to be careful because that one can shift as dramatically against you. So I think if we had to say anything, it would be 50% defensive and then kind of managing north and south of the border.
Great. Thanks very much.
Great. Thanks, Neil.
Your next question comes from Mark Charbin with Laurentian Bank Securities. Your line is now open.
My questions have been addressed. Thanks.
Your next question comes from Jason Zanderberg with PI Financial. Your line is now open.
Hi, guys.
Hey, Jason.
Hey, Jason. How are you?
Very, very good.
Good.
A number of my questions have been answered as well, but just wanted to ask, and I'm not sure if you had mentioned this in your MD&A or not, but your cash position you mentioned at the end of the quarter, but what about right as it sits today? I know you mentioned sort of if it gets to 4 or 5 million, you'd look to refinance. What are you sitting at today, if you can provide that?
Yeah, we're slightly a couple of hundred thousand ahead of what we were at the end of December, just reflecting the increase in the free cash flow for the month of January. So we're at a range of about 10 million.
Okay, perfect. And then one more, just on the dividend, the 5 cents per annum number. How did you come up with that number? Do you have some sort of formula that you will be working on going forward, or is that sort of what you expect the balance sheet or the income statement to be able to handle this year? What sort of some of the thought process behind that number?
Yeah, I think balance was key in the analysis, Jason. 80% payout ratio, some consideration towards what our access to capital. We had to make some assessments on that side of the equation, and then we also had to do it on a very conservative basis. If we have no access to capital, can we maintain this? And the answer is yes. So it's kind of it's sized to where we are right now, and then as you know, I think you've seen our presentations. For every $3 million we invest, it generates the ability for us to do another one penny distribution per $3 million invested, or something like that. Again, how many shares are outstanding, but there's some model that evolves on that basis because we don't have costs against it. It's available for distribution. So it's a very powerful model. What we needed to do was provide evidence that it works on that basis, and we figured 5 cents was a good starting place. And then the objective is to move towards increases as we deploy more capital, but we're very sensitive to the access to capital aspect.
Okay, great. That's a great dividend and great quarter.
Thanks. We're really proud of it.
That's great. Thanks. Yeah, really appreciate the questions too, guys.
Again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. Your next question comes from James Gelman with Richardson GMP. Your line is open.
Guys, congratulations on what I thought was a great quarter. So I just want to have complete clarification here. The dividend, as indicated, seemed to be suggested as an annual, but it's only recorded as a monthly, one-time monthly. Is it a monthly dividend that you're proposing to do? Or can you clarify that?
Yeah, we're proposing to do a monthly dividend, Jimmy, in terms of, so it would obviously on an annualized basis, it would be 5 cents right. if there were 12 consecutive payments paid. Now, it's obviously subject to approval by the board on a monthly basis.
All right.
So that's
so it's not a stated given dividend. You'll be declaring it every month.
That's right.
Okay. We're required by law to do it that way. We require a board decision each month.
Okay. Fair enough. Let's talk about the volatility of the U.S. dollar against the Canadian dollar, and given the exposure that the portfolio now has to U.S. investments, is there any thought, or can you just clarify for us what the, hedging policy, if any, is for the company in terms of, you know, both from distributions and further investments south of the border?
Yeah, one of the things we've been obviously watching closely the development in the U.S. dollar exchange rate. At the moment, our position is not to hedge the U.S. dollar exposure, simply because our structures are of a perpetual nature. It's very difficult to determine how long we would need the hedging for. We obviously, any U.S. dollar royalties that we receive, they are immediately converted into Canadian dollars, so we don't have any transaction exposure. But we are looking and we are in the process of setting out a hedging strategy for our board, which we'll be presenting to our board during Q1.
Just a further clarification then on that. When you model out that you could pay out 80% of the distributable cash in terms of a dividend, you must be creating some sort of assumption on the exchange rate in order to do that, are you not?
Yes, we are. And the assumption that we used was that we are using the exchange rate as of the year end, December.
So that would be about 116, I think,
if I recall
then. So.
Correct.
All right. And can you give us any color in terms of how the portfolio is performing? For example, is there any of the investee companies that have, you know, where they are in terms of, say, full repayment of the capital that we invested in them? Can you give us any sense of where we are in terms of any of them paying off, for example?
Yeah, so I think, Jimmy, the portfolio is performing really well. In terms of arrears or defaults, there are no arrears or defaults at this point in time. And that was through the end of the year, which is a great position to be in. Really, really pleased with that.
On payback?
Yeah, and then on payback, we've got our very first investment that we did in August of 2013 pays back 100% of its capital this month. And I would think
is that ahead of schedule, on schedule?
On schedule, yeah. So on some of these, we've got very tight structures, all of them, and this one was quite specific. But I think it evidences the strength of this model when you can get 100% of your capital back in an 18-month period. We're really, really excited by that, Jimmy.
And you know, all analysts can go and calculate the IRR on that based on an 18-month payback. It's an extraordinary deal in our portfolio.
Yeah. So it was an interesting structure in that the IRR on that at the low end is 44%. At the high end, it caps out at about 80%. But it's a great structure.
And I guess the final thing I would ask today would be about the ultimate buyback strategy and the buyback option. And I guess it's always been contemplated or thought that if you're more onerous on that, the quality of the portfolio would be less, et cetera. Are you having to play with that at all to get the kind of quality you want in the portfolio? Is that staying pretty well consistent with the original model? How would you sort of characterize what's going on with that?
Yeah, I think we've got more tools to work with the potential portfolio companies, Jimmy. I think when we first started, we had ideas but no experience. Now we've got experience and the evolution of some of these contractual relationships with a really good portfolio of companies. And there's flexibility. You know, there's contractual rights, and then there's business relationships. So if somebody comes to us and says, okay, I can't, you know, I don't have the right to buy it out for, you know, a four or an eight period of time or buy it down, but if somebody comes along and says, you know, we've got this great opportunity, what are your thoughts? We're business partners with the portfolio company, and we're there to help them. We're not there to preclude their growth or to take advantage of them. As long as we're getting our 25% cash on cash, everything is gravy above that.
I thank you, and I'll jump back in the queue.
Jimmy,
have a great weekend,
guys.
Yeah,
I'd appreciate for you guys staying around on a Friday night.
Same to you.
I can't believe I did that.
Yeah, either can we.
There are no further questions in queue at this time. I turn the call back over to Mr. Tharp.
Thanks, Tracy. Well, really appreciate everybody's time and attention on a Friday afternoon, and we look forward to updating you on the growth of the company as we continue our solid momentum through 2015. Thanks, everyone, and have a great weekend.
Thank you for joining. This concludes today's conference call. You may now disconnect.